for those who were not here, we also learned last week, according to John chapter 10 verse 10, that Satan, what? Has come to steal, kill, and destroy. To steal you from you. To steal you, your dignity, your wealth, your blessing. He come to steal from you. But he come also to kill you. That means make us sick physically, all the time tired. Some young woman, some young man, you are not even 25. You look like an old woman of 70. Because you are always tired. Come on now, feel like preaching today. Now you need to find out the reason why. You see, he come to take away your joy from you, your love from you, your he want to make you sick all the time, tired all the time. That is what he wants. That's why sickness comes, not from God. Hello. Sometimes I am mad and angry to people who say that these things are from God. Hey. Woohoo. I was watching television and one preacher, I don't want to mention names because then I will have a problem. One big preacher comes and says, you see, these tsunamis and earthquakes, they're all from God. God did that to kill people. Say, please, shut that blessed mouth small, and think before you talk on television. That a loving, caring God would just send tsunami to kill people. I cannot understand that is God. Now you say, okay, but God is punishing people. Well, let me tell you something. If it was for God to punish people, he would have not sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross. Let me tell you what makes the tsunami. Let me tell you what makes the sickness. Let me tell you what makes all these miserable things. You know what it makes? The absence of God. The absence of God. When God is not there, tsunami can happen. And why is God not there? Because God is a gentleman, and we say to God, God, we don't need you. We are the boss of our own. When God is not there, tsunami is there, sickness is there. You know why? Because we don't give God chance. But it is not God's mistake, my friend. Why you are so quiet now? See, what is my preacher is telling me? It is God who killed people. It is God who make all these things. No, my friend. So let us be wise enough to know how we are talking. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because in that tsunami, there were also Christians who died. Now figure it out. Whether it was God or not God. Hey, now I'm a little bit angry. But it's good to be angry sometimes in this way. Praise God. To be angry for injustice. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So he comes to steal. He comes to steal what? To steal our homes, our families. It's not God who make an alcoholic father, my friend. It's the absence of God. When you walk in the street of Holland right now, how many degree it is? Maybe 10 degree, 5 degree. And you walk in the street with a short, short, without a jacket. You are almost naked walking in the street. You will become sick. And that is not God who made you sick. It is your own stupidity that made you sick. Hey, don't get mad at me now. Sorry for my language. Praise God. Sometimes we say, oh, it's God who did it. And sometimes we say, it is devil who did it. But sometimes we do it. And we cooperate with the devil. Hello. So he comes to steal. He comes to kill. To kill homes, to kill families, to destroy. And at the end, take your soul. Take your soul and put it in hell. That is what he wants. But we learn that the enemy that we have, Mr. Satan himself, he has not much power. Last week we learned that. First of all, I tell you some of his limitations. I told you that Satan or demons cannot be any place in the same time. So if demon is here today, demon X or Y is here today, he can never be somewhere else. Only God is omnipotent, omnipresent. Only God has the ability to be here, at the same time to be in Abuja, and at the same time be in Sumatra. God is able to be everywhere, not Satan. Satan has demons sending here and there, but he can never be present in the same place, the same time, in various places. Hello, do you catch me? I also teach you, this is a little bit the summary. I also teach you that Satan does not know your future. He only knows your past. Hello. He only knows your past. He can never tell your future. And if he tells your future, that is the plan that he has for you. Because from the time that you are born, there are two plans. The plan of God, the plan of Satan. Satan wants you on his side. God wants you on his side. So God has a plan for you, but Satan also has a plan for you. You understand that? So sometimes some people say, oh, he knows. He told me that I had this and that and this. Of course he knows. You know why? Because he is the demon. Demon is telling him what you have been going through, because that demon is the one who made you go through all these things. So he knows the information. You don't need a PhD in juju to tell the past of somebody. Hello. If you are talking to me and your mouth smells to garlic, I will tell you, you just eat garlic, and that is no prophecy. Or telling you what, you see what, you need, come on, people of God. And I teach you that some of these so-called men of God are making a very big business tent for themselves by sending cassettes back from Africa or wherever to you and tell you that, you see, this and that is going to happen, this and that is going to, unless you send some money. Don't send that money, not even 1 euro, to that person who sent you a cassette to threaten you and then to tell you, give me some money, then I'm going to cancel that. Hey, these kind of things are demonic. Why you are so quiet now? Then I said also that Satan has a 3 strategy. What did I say? 3 strategy. You remember that? First strategy is what? The pushing strategy. You see? No, frontal strategy. So you want to go from one side to the other side. He tried to block your ways. By all means, he tried to block your ways so that you cannot go from the point A to the point B. That is a frontal. He push you like this so that your moving is difficult. And some of you have been going through that. You say, Pastor, sometimes I feel that my life is, you know, everything I'm trying to do, is something is blocking me. That is a spiritual battle. You need to do something about it. And I hope that through this series, I'm going to teach you how to do about it. Praise the Lord. Now, the other way is the pushing one, pushing strategy. Last week, we had our brother here. We called him Izichugu. And he described it to us. Isn't it? That if you want to go from point A to B, no problem. You want to go, God's plan is for you from point A to go to point B in, let's say, 4 years. Satan says, no problem. Let me not make him in 4 years. Let him push him from back so hard that he will go in 1 year, but along the road he collapses. You see, if I stand behind you and push you too hard, you will fall down. That is the strategy of Satan. Everything that is exaggerated is not good. Everything that is too much is not good. You understand? We need balance in our lives. Praise the Lord. And the other one is indirect strategy. What was that? He will say, you want to go from point A to B? It's wonderful. Look at there. You look at there, he beat you. Look at here, he beat you. He tried to distract you, and from the other side, try to attack you. So you need to be very careful. So there are many illustrations. Last week, I teach you actually. But let us go further today. Are you learning something? Are you learning? All right. Today, I want, before I teach you what are your weapons, I want to teach you what are the weapons of the enemy. Hello. Because enemy has a certain weapons. And he is using these weapons against what? You and me, so that he can steal, destroy, and kill us. What are the weapons of Satan? Now, the first weapon of Satan is lie. We always say, Satan is a what? A liar. Hello. That is the first what? Weapon of Satan. A lie. He lies. Now, what is a lie? Lie is an illegal usage of truth. That is lie. Lie is an illegal usage of truth. That means you are taking the truth and change it and use it as a lie. Hello? You catch my point. Now, what does he do? Most of the time, he comes to us with a lie. We always say the devil is a liar. You know, he comes to you in your mind especially, in your heart especially. He begins to lie to you. To lie. Lie about everything. Lie about the word of God. Lie about your friends. Lie about people around you. He begins to put lies in your mind. That is the strategy of Satan. Lies that you are not beautiful. Lies that you cannot do anything in your life. These kind of lies he put in your mind. And if you allow Satan to capture your mind, he will come and he will make his home there. You understand what I mean? The devil is a liar. He wants to lie to you. And he wants to use the word of God to lie. He does not come with something big. He comes with tricky things. You know what he does? He used the word of God. And he changed the word of God a little bit. And then he used it as a lie. You say, Pastor, how? Give me an example. Look, for example, when Jesus was in the desert, Satan tempted Jesus, isn't it? What strategy did Satan use? He quoted the word of God. He said, Mr. Jesus, it is written. It is written. If you throw yourself down, angels will catch you. You see, it is written. But what he was telling was a lie. You know why it was a lie? Because he took the truth out of his context. Hello? Are you listening to me something? Now, let me give you some examples. Listen, please listen very carefully to me. The distance between a truth and lie is just as thin as a piece of hair. You can just play with the truth in such a way that become lie. Hello? Let me explain to you one example. For example, we say that we have to love each other. Love. Bible is about love. Love, my brother, love. Let's love each other. The minute you are saying to somebody, hey, you are going too far. That's somebody, you are a Christian. How come? God said you have to love. You see, you are not a Christian. You see, a lie and an accusation. Because Satan is also an accuser. You see, are you listening to me? Do you understand the definition of love? The Bible says love is kind. Say love is kind. Love is patient. Love does not remember mistakes. Exactly. Okay. Now you do something, then Satan use people or situation and come and say, you see, love is kind. So I can abuse you as much as I can, but you have no right to oppose because you are a Christian. Hello. You see, why are you angry? Look. You are angry now. Look. You are angry. You are a Christian. Why are you angry? You see? Lie. A lie. Accuse and lie goes together always. Accusations and lie. Because that is his second weapon. Lie and accuse. You see, let me tell you something. When you love somebody and that somebody hurt you, you have the right to say that to that somebody that you are hurt, and that is love. You see, love does not mean that you come and kill my children and I only have one child remaining and say, kill him as well. Because that is what Jesus said. When somebody wants your coat, give you another one also. If somebody wants something from you, give the other one also. If somebody hits you on the right, you turn the other one. I understand that. But in its context, you cannot come to my house and steal my kids and my wife from me and I say, well, I have one more child, you can take it too. No, my friend. And you cannot come and tell me that, you see, you are not a Christian. You are not a Christian. No.
I am a Christian enough to oppose you. And I'm a Christian enough to stand up against you and say, this is love.
That is just like what happened in South Africa with apartheid. The apartheid government was killing these Zulus and black people. Does it mean that they must do nothing? Sit down and look, kill me. You killed my sister. You killed my brother. You killed my grandfather. Kill me too. No. That's not love. Love is, I love you enough to oppose you. That's love. But Satan comes and takes the verse from the Bible and say, you see, you have to love, sister. You see, you have to love. You see, I can hurt you. I can abuse you. I can mistreat you. But you don't open your mouth because you are a Christian. You see, that's a lie. Abuse of the truth. Hello. Husbands and wives, we will talk about that today. They may fight. They are angry. Yeah? You see, yeah, but you are the woman. You are the woman. And according to Ephesians chapter so and so is written that man is the head of the woman. But you forgot that in the very same Ephesians, it is written that man is the Christ of a woman. Hello? And woman is the church of the Christ, isn't it? Now, if it is true, then you have to die for your woman. Because Jesus died for his woman. That is the church. You see, we are always big mouthing, big mouth. Eh? Feel like preaching today. Hey, am I not telling the truth today? Hey, lies, he come to you lies. Lies about you, lies about you, lies about your past, lies about you. You see, you have been, you are a terrible person before. You see, do you think a prostitute will always stay a prostitute? Even you are changed, you are born again, you are praying, you are preaching, you are paying your tithe and offering. You have been a prostitute before. You see? That is Satan. But my Bible says, when you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Lies. Some of you, you make lies. Oh, you listen, you hear to lies a lot. Look, I'm not against all these things, but let me tell you the truth today. How Satan works. Satan is not coming as a boogeyman. No, Satan comes smoothly. He's the angel of light. Smoothly he comes. You begin to look into the mirror. Morning. Come to the church. Even some of you have done that this morning. Ah, wow. Look how fat I am. It's true, you are fat. You see, nobody will marry you. Who do you think is going to marry you? Look at you, how fat you are. Fat woman. You see? It's true. Look at me. It's true. Nobody will marry me. Yes, if you begin to think like that, my brother, nobody, my sister, nobody will marry you. Look, I'm not angry. I'm just telling you the truth. Satisfaction is not about how you look like, it's the person inside. When Satan attacked that person inside, hey, you can put Armani Vic on your head. I'm not talking about coat. Vic. Go and buy Armani Vic and Gucci ring and dress yourself. But when you listen to the lie of that man, it will never satisfy. Satan is a liar. So he lies. What does he do? He takes the truth. He abuses the truth. And he says, you see, look at you. That is how it is. Let me tell you what Abraham Lincoln said. How many of you know Abraham Lincoln? Abraham Lincoln said this: you can fool some of the people all of the time. That is what Abraham Lincoln said. He said, you can fool some of the people all of the time, and all of the people some of the time. But you cannot fool all the people all the time. And that's a message to Satan. You cannot fool us anymore. We are not going to listen to your lies anymore that you are telling about us and about me and about you. You, Satan, you are a liar. You will remain a liar. Nothing about you will change, but you have no authority in my life. I'm not going to believe in your lies anymore. That is what you need to do. The second weapon, I told you, is accusations. He likes to accuse. Satan is an accuser. He is like a mean, evil judge, persecutor. He wants to persecute us before God. You see this child of yours? You see him? You see him? You see him? Satan always sees our mistakes. He always sees our mistakes, and he always sees our shortcomings, and upon that he beats you. You see? He accuses you. He accuses you. You are not a good father. You are not a good mother. You are not a good child. You are not good. Every time you are not good, you are not good, you are not good. He's an accuser. He accuses you. You understand? He likes to accuse. So sometimes some you see in your life, suddenly somebody comes and accuses you. You are trying to steal my wife. You are trying to steal my husband from me. Woman, you know what I'm talking about. Hey, but you didn't do anything. He likes to accuse. Have you been accused in your life of something that you have not done, but you have been accused of? Know that Satan is behind it. And you can break that through prayers, through fasting, through coming to Christ. That accusation will be broken. Let me tell you something. Don't let anybody accuse you because of your past. Never. Because when God forgives you, he forgets your sins and remember them no more. Are you listening to me? There is a difference between accusation and correction. Sometimes some people may correct you. That is from a good heart. But accusation will give you bad feeling. Will give you a terrible feeling. I don't want to use bad words now. It will give you that feeling that you are terrible. You understand? Sometimes parents, you are used by the devil. Don't get mad at me now. Because you give that feeling to the child. You will never be somebody in your life. Your father was like this, you will remain like this. You see, especially when the woman doesn't like the father anymore. You see. Sometimes I don't understand parents. When the child does something good, the mother says, my child. But when the child is naughty, the mother says, go and take your children. Suddenly you are your children now. Not you, my children, your children. Eh? Women, you know what I'm talking about. Accusations. It is never good enough. It is never good enough. You did not do well. You did not do enough. You are not worthy. You are useless. That is Satan's weapon. That is exactly what he wants to do with you. That is exactly what he wants to do with us. You are useless. Good for nothing. But God said, give me those good for nothings and I will make them something. Give me the rejected stones and I will make them somebodies. Give me nobodies and I will make them somebodies. That is the second weapon of Satan. What is the third one? I like this one. The third one is misunderstandings. Hello, some of you know what I'm talking about. Misunderstandings. Misunderstandings between friends, between husbands and wives, between kids. You say apple, the man he is orange. You say apple, he said orange. You said orange. I know you said orange. God is my meter. I hear you orange. My brother, I said apple. No. Orange. I hear God. I can swear to God. You said orange. You said, I hear it. You said orange. But this is only a simple example. That sometimes when you communicate with your loved ones, you say apple, they hear orange. You mean something good, but they hear it bad. You catch my point? For example, you say, let's say husband and wife. That is a very easy way. You say to your wife, maybe this kind of dresser, this one that you have dressed, to my opinion, maybe you can change another. What do you mean? These days, you don't like me anymore, huh? You don't like me anymore. You see, I know already. And you begin to shout at your husband. You see, the devil is very busy in your life. You see, you are just telling something to your wife. You are saying, wife, to my opinion, maybe because my suit is also, let's say, yellow, maybe you also dress, let's say, some dress that is, nowadays, what is happening to you? You see, from the very beginning, I have some suspicions about you. That you are, you see, I know it already from the very beginning that you don't like me these days anymore. Huh? You see, wife, I didn't say that. Now, don't think that mama does that to me, she doesn't do it. I'm just giving you an example. Mama is the most sweetest woman in the world. I'm giving you examples. Hello. Or you come and say, is it, for example, possible for you just to little bit cool down your voice? Because your voice is too loud. It wakes up the children. Now mother is saying to the husband, what do you mean by that, eh? My voice is high. Can you not understand that? I have been working the whole day and I'm coming home and I want something to eat in place of that. You are talking about the rising of. Cool down. You say apple, the other one is orange. Misunderstandings. You understand? That is how Satan is. Not only through verbal, but through other things. Sometimes somebody's eye maybe is look like this. Huh? The eyebrow. Huh? Why he looks at me like that? You see, if you begin to doubt why he looks at me, that means there is something that you are hiding. You know? Hello. You see, today he didn't greet me that way as he's supposed to greet me. You see, I know he discriminates. What has discrimination to do with the greeting? You see, misunderstandings. Come, you go home. Why did the man say like that? Why did the pastor say like that? Why did you see, stop thinking why? You see, because when you say apple and the other one here orange, is already. And then more than that, husbands and wives and loved ones, we always like to shoot at each other. You see what I mean? Shooting. Because your words are like an arrow. So he make you confused. He make you misunderstand. Then begin you both of you are beginning to talk to each other like that. Yeah, but you. No, but your mother did like that. Your mother, I remember. My brother, this one, we are now talking about orange. What does orange have to do with your mother? You see, now subjects have been. No. Your mother, I know from the very beginning, your mother hates me. Your mother hates, I know. You ask your brother-in-law, he himself is my witness. The mother hates me. You see? That's why. And then the other one says, no, but you never come on time at home. You see, we always like to use words like never, always. You see, we always say, you see, again, I use myself even. We always say to, you always are late. No, maybe out of 100 times, 75 times you are late and 25 times you are on time. But that doesn't make it always. Don't shoot to each other. Because then Satan is involved. Satan wants to destroy your marriage life, your home life, your career life, your house life, anything that you are involved with. It's not only about husband and wife. It can be about anybody at the working place and everything. One time you can be so angry, you can beat up somebody at your work. And police come and catch you and later say, oh, what have I done? You see? Don't they open my mouth today? All right. Weapon number four. Are you learning something? Weapon number four is this. Fear. I love this one. Fear. Fear. He wants to put fear inside of you. Fear. Many times we are afraid. We are afraid of doing things in life because we think they are going to fail. And that's why we don't do anything. The book of Proverbs says that the man does not want to go outside because he thinks that the lions and the tigers are going to eat him. And one time I was counseling a young man. I'm not telling you a lie. This is a truth. A young man, he does not want to go outside his house. He doesn't want to do anything. He sleeps at home, watch television, eat chips. That's what he wants to do. You know what he said? I said, son, why don't you go out? He said, I am afraid. I said, why? Do you have a resident permit? Yes. I have even Dutch passport. Wonderful. Why don't you go out? He said, no, pastor, I don't go out. Say, why? He said, because, you know, the streets are very crowded here. I'm afraid the car will hit me and I die. The car will hit me and I die. I had a friend in my country. He's a joker, you know, he liked to joke. He said to me, Samuel, when I'm walking in the street and I'm hit, maybe that is the plan for me to die. I want a Mercedes-Benz hit me in place of a Citroën. Praise the Lord. You're catching my point. Fear. Fear kills every young man and every young woman. Fear kills every one of us because we are afraid of doing things in life. And that is what Satan put in you. Satan put in you and me, in us, fear. We are afraid. We are afraid to get married because we think we will divorce. My brother, first marry, then we will talk about your divorce. Don't worry. We are afraid of dying from cancer. As soon as maybe your neck is a little bit itching, it's already cancer. I'm going to die. My friend, dying is not that easy. Dying is in the hand. No, I have back pain here. Maybe that is cancer. I'm going to die. I'm writing my testament. You see, we are afraid of dying. As soon as we have throat pain, I know I'm going to die. Cool down. Don't be afraid. We are afraid of doing things. We are afraid of people who are different than us. We are afraid of people, maybe I'm not good enough. No, you do your best. And let us see whether you are good enough or not. But don't sit home and do nothing. Don't be afraid in life. Don't be afraid. The only thing you need to fear in your life is God in the right way. Don't fear anybody. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. We are afraid. I have seen some young people, young women, beautiful young women. They are in bed, dying, almost dying. You know why? What is their sickness? Nothing. They are only afraid that they have cancer and they don't have cancer. That's a sickness. Do you know that? They begin to meditate. I have cancer, I have cancer, I have cancer, I have cancer, I have cancer. And they begin to get the cancer. Fear. Fear, I told you, fear is faith in Satan. When you fear, that means, yes, Lord, yes, Satan, I give my life into your hand. You can do whatever you want to do with me. I fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. With faith, you can move mountains. With fear, you are nothing. Some young people said, but pastor, I'm afraid to do this. Maybe I will fail. It is better you do and fail than doing nothing. Number five. What is the fifth weapon of Satan? The fifth weapon of Satan is false promises. Advertisements. False promises. Do you know that Satan uses all these techniques today in our world? Look at television. It seems that when you buy Coca-Cola, life will be paradise. You see, that's how they do. We are the world. We are the champions. And you see the man drinking cola, suddenly they sweat. And the birds begin to shine, sun begin to rise, and you looked very angry and chagrined when you drink the cola. Smile came back. My friend, if that is true, let every marriage have Coca-Cola at home. You know that Satan used these things? Mobile phones. You watch on television. Latest model mobile phone. Make life better. You see, if life depends on a mobile phone, I don't want that life. Connecting people. You see? Connecting people. These are all demonic things. You say, Pastor, what has mobile phone to do? No, because it plays with our emotion. Because you don't have enough money, you go and borrow to buy again. This is your 7th mobile phone you already have. In 1 year. And you wonder why your finance is not going well. Hello. You see, Satan likes to give you false promises. Promises that will make you feel happy. Promises that will make you feel high. But it's not true. Hello. You know what I'm talking about sometimes. Some people, you know, you buy lotos. Don't get mad at me now. Lotto. You see, you can buy Lotto if you want. Buy 100. I don't care. But let me tell you about something about Lotto. They make advertisement on television and say, you can be the one multimillionaire. The jackpot is 58 billion euros. And you are the one. You see? And then what happens, there are 15 million youths. They are all going to buy the lotto because they think that by buying this lotto in one night, their life has been changed and they are going to become Mr. Millionaire. Hello. But let me tell you something about lotto. Can I say? Do you know what do they advertise about lottery? They say that when you buy a lotto, 5 euro, 10 euro, it helps the education of poor people somewhere in Africa and in Asia and in Middle East or something like that. When you buy this lottery, it will help the jungles in Amazon. When you buy this lottery is for good things. Okay? Now, put it in your mind. Put it in your mind. Now, can I ask you something? Does a multimillionaire or a millionaire man buy lotto? No. Somebody who is rich does not buy lotto. Who buys the lotto? The poor and middle class. You see? The poor and middle class buy the lotto. Do you know what it means? It means that it is the poor and middle class who is paying for Amazon and who is paying for the poor children here and there, not the rich people. They are all fooling us. They are all fooling us. Because they want the poor people to pay for the education of poor people. And the rich doesn't want to do anything. They want to just be rich. And there we are. Good promises. You can have this villa. Oh, life will be beautiful. That is Satan. But get mad at me now. It's the truth. Because they use the poor people to feed the poor people. And where are the rich people to say, I want to give everything to the poor and oppressed? They are not there. They want to be more rich and richer. Hello? They want, Satan wants to give you false promises that everything will be beautiful if you do this and that and that. Now, don't get angry to me because I'm coming back again. I don't care, but I'm coming back. Good promises. You see, sister, these days we are living in Holland, eh? And Holland nowadays is very difficult to live because of the tax, because of the, you know, every situation is difficult, very difficult. So I have really a good business for you.
very good one. In fact, this business can make you rich. You need to carry this good from this airport to that airport. Somebody is waiting for you. When you go there, that person will give you this and that. You get your money. That life is better. And then you go, and in the airport, airplane, because you have swallowed some things, that something explode, you die, foam come out of your nose, nobody knows what is happening to you. When you arrive to certain city in Europe, you are not alive, you are dead. That is what, and then some of you, not, some of us not dead, but some of us, we arrive there, and later we get some money, but a few days later, we lose everything. You see, please, people of God, I trust in us. I trust in us. But let everything that comes easy way will be taken away from us easy way. Let us go the hard way. Let us even suffer than do these kind of things. Why, Samuel Lee, you always open your mouth? Almost done. Number six, worries. That is another weapon of Satan. Worries. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Some of you, I told you, you worry too much. Mr. Worry. Be worry, worry, worry. Do you know what is a definition of worry? Worry gives a small thing big shadow. I repeat again. Worry gives a small thing a big shadow. Something that is so small make a big shadow for you to be afraid. Worry means meditating to Satan. We worry, worry, worry. What will happen next? What will happen tomorrow? What will happen? My friend, you don't know even tonight whether what will happen to me or you. What do you want to care about tomorrow and after tomorrow? First, think about today. Worry, worry, everything worry. But what if this? What if that? What if so? My friend, if you begin to live like that, life is miserable. Don't worry. Trust in God. The God has, our God is a good God. He has a good plan for you. The plan of God is good. So trust in good, not trust in bad, not trust in negative things. Don't begin to think negative in your life all the time. Begin to think positive. Worry, worry, worry. Sometimes I look at some people and I immediately know we are warriors. We worry too much. In Italian we say, la vita bella. Life is beautiful. Hey, why you make so difficult life? Life is moi. Life is moi. Life is beautiful. La vie è belle. Liebe is schön. Hey, life is beautiful. Why do you sit down and worry, 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 worry? Worry. Trust in God. Don't worry. Trust in God. For everything is in His hand. Hallelujah. Worries. Want to worry, worry. Don't worry. Say, to look at your neighbor, say, don't worry. Be happy. Say it, be happy. Worries. That is a weapon of Satan. Three, four more weapons. We finish. Number seven weapon. Are you listening? Laziness. Hey. Laziness. Laziness is the only thing we need. Lazy. Some of us, we are poor today because we are lazy. And that laziness, Satan put on us. Lazy. You see, why do I say these things? Do you think that Satan will come and spook you? No. This is Satan. Laziness is Satan. Today, you have this project, no problem. Sleep longer. It's okay. Tomorrow is another day. Pastor said, why do you worry?
You see, abuse of the truth. Why do you worry? Pastor said, why do you worry? Just sleep. Who cares? No problem. You'll do it tomorrow. When tomorrow comes, yeah, tomorrow is another day. Let me go. Let me do it tomorrow. You see, let me tell you something. If you want to work with me, Papa has allergy with a very important word, tomorrow. Don't come to me and say tomorrow. I get headache. I don't like the word tomorrow. My children, if I ask them to do something, say tomorrow, I scold them. Today, not tomorrow, today. Laziness. That's a weapon of Satan. You feel tired sometimes. Your body is tired. The things that you want to do, you don't do. You do the things that are not necessary. You don't have priorities in life. That's laziness. In place of reading, you are watching TV. And you are not watching something that teaches you something, but you are watching useless things. Fear factor. Whatever factor. What kind of additional usage or blessing did that program give to your life? You see? Laziness. That's a weapon of Satan. Honestly, Satan is in laziness. He says, no problem. Everything tomorrow. Mañana. Mañana, adios. Amigos. Laziness. Keep it cool, man. Keep it cool. Tomorrow is another day, man. Keep it cool, man. Hey, why do you make difficult? Didn't you hear the preacher say, take it easy, man. Take it easy. Relax. Relax. No problem. Relax. Laziness. If you have laziness in your life, you need discipline. You need to discipline yourself. Weapon number 8. Pleasure. 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 Somebody told me, Pastor, God is with rich people. I said, no. God is not with rich people. Then God is with poor people. I said, no, God is also not. God is with balanced people. The book of Proverbs said, God, don't make me too rich, for I will forget you. And do not make me too poor, for I will curse you. We live a balanced life. Understand, you see, but Satan knows how to catch us with pleasure of the eyes. He sneak around and went to Eve and said, look at this tree. Is this tree not beautiful for wisdom? You see, Satan knows how to catch us. Pleasure of our eyes, pleasure of our heart, pleasure of drinking, boozing, pleasure. Oh, you see, let me look. I'm not against drinking. You go and drink how much you want to drink. You are still welcome in this church. But let me tell you something. Drinking will damage your liver. It damage your kidney if you drink a lot. Are you listening to me? And you lose a lot of money. You see, no problem. You want to smoke? Be my guest. Go ahead and smoke. I will not judge you. But let me tell you something. Smoking will kill you of cancer in your lungs. Now go ahead and smoke. And worse than that, maybe you will not die of cancer. I pray that you will not die of cancer, but you lose a lot of money. Our pastor is radical today. Huh? Your eyes look pleasure. You see, King David had a pleasurous eye. You see what? Please. He had a very pleasurous eye because the Bible said when he was doing nothing, he's supposed to be in battle to fight. But he was not in the battle. He was up in the balcony of his house looking around, and that pleasurous eye suddenly fell upon a naked woman. Hey! You see, go and find for me who she is. Hey? You see, pleasure. Oh, this woman. Oh, sir, the woman is married. Who is he? But I am a king. I want her for my pleasure. Kill the husband, give the woman to me. See, pleasure. But pleasure makes you poor. The Bible says the man who loves pleasure will be always poor. Connected to pleasure, number 9 is temptation. Temptation. We are tempted to do certain things. Woman, you know what I'm talking about. As soon as you have a stress, you want to buy. Eh? Talk or not? Some woman, as soon as they have a stress, eh? They want to go out shopping. Shopping. And they buy a lot of shopping. Today they feel good, tomorrow they are stressed again. My friend, your problem will not be solved with your shopping. Something inside of your mind needs to be transformed and changed. Shopping. As soon as you have a stress, you go shopping. Temptation. Oh, this